The Seattle Storm opens its new season June the 6th. The two-time WNBA champions take on Los Angeles at home, and in the stands, sitting there, you're likely to find Storm co-owner Ginny Gilder. But Gilder isn't somebody who sits still for very long. She was a member of the U.S. Olympic team in 1980 and again in 1984 when she won a silver medal in rowing. 30 years later, in 2012, Gilder rode her bicycle around the perimeter of Mount Rainier in less than 10 hours. She is a determined woman. Gilder chronicles her journey from girlhood in a new memoir. It's called Course Correction. When Ginny Gilder started rowing at Yale in 1975, that school was just starting to accommodate co-ed sports. That meant athletes had to share their facilities, including the locker room at the boathouse 12 miles from campus, something Gilder and her teammates were not excited about.
Of course, we got to wait for the guys to take their showers. And we had two women trying out for the Olympic team. It was February when we started rowing, very cold. So our captain and a junior, who were really the backbone of our team, were speculating about what they could do to get the university to wake up and start taking this issue seriously. So Chris Ernst, who was our captain, said, well, maybe we could go into Joni Barnett's office and take a shower in a bucket. And Joni Barnett was the head of women's athletics. And so they had this idea that they'd bring a bucket and water and a sponge and some soap and mime a shower. And somehow it went from there to we could take off all our clothes and do this. And Ann Warner, the junior, said to Chris Ernst, and they were partners in training because they were training for the Olympics together, kind of a gleeful look on her face, and said, I dare you. And that was it. Something was going to happen. So Chris and Ann put together a strip in protest, which we ended up, 19 of us on the crew ended up participating in.
You stripped. You had things written on your body.
Yeah, we wrote Title IX in Yale blue ink on our backs. And when we got into this woman's office, at a signal from Chris, we all turned around and took off our clothes. And Chris was standing there. She was standing facing Joni Barnett naked. And we stood there while Chris read this manifesto. And there was a photographer and a writer from the Daily News who was also a stringer for the New York Times. So this story went into the New York Times the next day and around the world in short order.
How long till you got a shower facility?
They started building the next year.
Amazing what protests could do.
Yeah.
I'm talking to Ginny Gilder. She's an Olympic rower, now co-owner of Seattle Storm basketball team. I'm not quite sure how to phrase this, but I'm wondering how conscious you were of yourself being a woman athlete at that time. How much did wanting to prove things play into all of this?
Well, I was conscious of being a woman because of how the heavyweight men at Yale treated us in college, very disparaging. And then when I made the Olympic team, you would always hear these murmurs from the men about how we had it easier, our races were only half the distance. In 1985, they changed the distance. Somehow that we weren't quite as serious. So it was unfortunately impossible to escape the reality that we were viewed as interlopers.
Why did you set your sight on the Olympics?
You know, I think it was as simple as having two women on my crew who had set their sights and thinking it sounded cool and deciding if they could do it, I could do it.
It sounded cool, but you saw them training, so you saw the reality of what it meant, right?
I did, but you know, to this day, in some ways, I don't understand why I was so smitten by rowing. I'm a little more clear-eyed these days. My son rowed for 9 years, and I watched a lot of races. Like, really? He loves this? I love it theoretically more now. But I think I loved the experience of being part of a woman's crew. I loved how hard I had to work, and it was a whole new challenge. I had never pushed myself that hard physically, and I loved that there was always more to try.
There was always more to try. In your book, Course Correction, it wasn't just that there was always more to try. It sounds so romantic how you describe it. But in fact, you mentioned that you had asthma and that you're 5'7". And these were not assets for you. You pushed yourself perhaps beyond the point where even a dedicated athlete should push herself, don't you think?
Yes. And there are athletes who don't know when to stop. Mary Decker-Slaney, who was a runner in my Olympics in 84, another example where you can't really believe. I couldn't believe that there was such a thing as too much training. Mm. I never felt satisfied unless I was working hard.
So injuring yourself 10 days before the Olympic trials meant that that dream of, and this was 1984, 1980, the U.S. boycotted the Olympics. So you made the team but didn't get to race there. 84, you wanted to come back and do it again. You did not get to race in a single in 1984.
That's right. I broke my rib 10 days of the Olympic before the Olympic trials because I was already injured. And I got some treatment to help me kind of recover. And I was told very specifically, you need to take the day off. And I agreed, of course, I'd take the day off. And I ended up going out on the water that afternoon, really because it was such a beautiful day, and doing not just a paddle, but a hard workout. And my body couldn't take it. So I totally trashed my dream. I did it myself. It was one of the stupidest things I've ever done.
You did get to row in the Olympics.
I did. And it was a wonderful experience. And as a result of it, I have friendships with the women who I rowed with.
Ginny Gilder's with me. Her memoir is called Course Correction. And Ginny, this book deals with a ton of stuff that we don't have time to go into. It's about your family. It's about sexual identity. It's about you. It's about a lot of lessons. But you ultimately moved to Seattle. You raise your family here. You write about all that. And fast forward many years, you decide that you're going to invest in this basketball team, this women's basketball team. What did you know about basketball?
So I knew, like, you play on a court. I knew about how big it was.
It was a ball sport.
Exactly. I knew I couldn't play to save my life. But what I did know also was that it was the only women's professional sports league in the country that was a team sport, and that it needed investment to make it.
I assume you learned about basketball.
I did. The day we bought the team, my wife, she wasn't my wife back then, but she gave me basketball for dummies. Brian Agler was our coach. And the first question he asked, word had gotten around, was what a post player was. And I was so flustered, I couldn't even answer the question. It was so embarrassing.
How long have you owned this team now?
That was 2008. Okay. I think we're starting our eighth season.
What do you think, you have a daughter and a son, but what do you think it means to have a women's professional team? We have two, actually. We've got a soccer team and a basketball team in this town. What does it mean to the community to have that?
What it standardizes opportunity, if you will. It lets girls grow up thinking that somewhere they're no different from boys, and it gives them a chance to dream the dreams that boys would dream. So I think it just makes the world a little more hospitable.
You know, I'm thinking back to the strip-in, if you will, at Yale. So many decades ago, at this point, there's generations of girls in this country that have come of age with the expectation, the assumption that they can play a sport.
That's right.
It wasn't like that for you.
That's right. And sometimes it can feel a little frustrating because the girls don't necessarily understand and appreciate the value of what they have. But at the same time, guys take things for granted all the time. And isn't it great that girls can take for granted that they get to play sports too?
Great indeed. Ginny Gilder is an Olympic rower, co-owner of the Seattle Storm WNBA team, and author of a new memoir called Course Correction. She's going to speak more about her experiences and her book with me. That's May 5th at Town Hall, Seattle.